Please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. This concerns the well-known visit of a Pharisee to our Lord Jesus. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Amen. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another week that has passed. And once again, we come to present ourselves before Thy holy throne, even as Thou hast commanded Thy people to come once in 7 days, on this holy Sabbath, the day appointed of God, ordained for our refreshment, for rest of the body, for renewal of the mind and the spirit, that we may come once again before Thy holy throne to present to Thee all our thanksgiving as well as our petitions. O Lord, Thou hast been good to us in the past week. We have, each one of us, brought various concerns. We have heard announced, and we continue to pray for all those who are sick in the body. Elder Mahadevan, our brother Henry, the pastor Reverend Toh, and others we have not named today, but Thou knowest full well. And for the rest of us assembled here before Thee, we all have our problems. As we grow older, weaker, encountering various problems, concerns, we realize how transient and fleeting this life is, and how uncertain the future, except that we in Jesus Christ have found the answer to life's greatest problem, and that is the end of this earthly life. O Lord our God, may Thou speak to our hearts. Perchance there is someone here who has not yet found the way of life. the life in the Spirit that comes from God alone. Thy Spirit will speak to him through the words to be spoken, that everyone who comes under the sound of the gospel this morning may submit ourselves under thy mighty hand, under the sound of the gospel, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, under his leading and guidance and control, that we may surrender ourselves to know that we, by ourselves, are nothing. We can do nothing. And the end of life by ourselves is but death, eternal, and destruction. O Lord, our God, therefore may thy Holy Spirit guide our thinking, help our reasoning. All our thoughts and all our intentions are known to thee. O Lord, may thou have mercy on us, on every family represented here, on the children who have gone to the Sunday school. May thou help the teachers, speak through them, use them as mighty instruments of thy righteousness, instruments of the good news, the gospel, that in Jesus Christ we have the answer to every one of life's problems, that in him alone we have the answer to life and death. So Lord, bless the Sunday school children. Bless this youth choir that we have heard this morning. May thou use each member as a living witness to the saving power of the Lord Jesus. May thou bless the church choir and the session, pastor, all those who have a responsible position, every member of this church. O Lord, use us. Raise up men and women of purpose, men of the Spirit, who are willing to go and to be thy witnesses in a day of great uncertainty and peril. O Lord, our God, as we see the signs of thy coming, the great uncertainty and the conflict in the Middle East, the new tsunami that has just erupted, and the volcanic eruption of 2 months ago, and the impending fear of bird flu, O Lord, our God, help us to see all these things through spiritual eyes with spiritual understanding, to know that our Lord is returning soon. And in this knowledge, may we order our lives to live accordingly, knowing that when the Lord comes, he brings with him judgment for the world, reward for his people. How should we therefore live? O Lord, our God, speak, bless everyone today, and grant us complete peace, confidence, and assurance in thy holy word. For we pray this in the blessed and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this morning, to our topic, life in the Spirit. This was what was bothering this man called Nicodemus. Please have your Bibles open so that we can refer it from time to time. He was a Pharisee, one who was regular in church attendance and very proper, very moral, and outwardly very respectable. Are there any among here, among the audience, the congregation who belong to that class? You come to church regular. You observe all the rules, and you carry a Bible, you look like the rest. Nicodemus was concerned. He had heard of Jesus, he had seen the miracles, and he was very impressed. But back of his mind was this big question: what is the meaning of life? Please understand, we all are visitors on planet Earth. We come and we go. Some weeks ago, you heard from Dr. Tan, what's his name? He came from Philippines. The professor who came, he wrote a book, suddenly I've forgotten his name, called the 7,700 Answers to Your Questions of Encyclopedia. And he says, according to statistics, there are 3 births every second and 2 deaths every second. And that is the statistics of population increase and decrease. And we belong to that group, which works out to something like 90,000 births a day in the world, not Singapore. And 60,000 deaths. So there is a positive balance. Population is increasing, but our concern is not in the statistics. As Nicodemus was concerned, it is not in statistics. Our concern is myself, yourself. We have prayed for. We know death will come. What is the purpose? How long are you going to be here on this planet? When was the last time you attended a birthday party? And as usual, everybody will sing, "Happy birthday." In a sense, yes, we are very happy that we have passed another year. But see it from a different angle. When you attend one more year, in actual fact, your sojourn on earth is reduced by another year. And you're 1 year nearer the grave. So happy birthday, seen from the other angle, is actually a very unhappy birthday. Think of it. So don't be too happy. Of course, we thank God. We thank God that He allows us to live another year. But ask yourself, Nicodemus was concerned. Every year means I have 1 year less. I want to go and consult this man. I've heard of him. Have you heard of him? Jesus. That miracle worker, he has done things no one else has done. Things that are supernatural, divine, only God can do. I will consult with him tonight. Verse 2 says, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. We have reason to believe that he came by night because he was a little afraid people will see him, shy. How can this leader of the church go and see this outsider Jesus? What has he got to do with him? We know that eventually Nicodemus showed himself to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not at that point. At that point, he was interested to know the meaning of life. What is life all about? Do you know? This morning when you woke up, did your first thought go straight to the Lord's Day? Life in the Spirit is Jesus in control of your life, your motivation, your thoughts, your planning, your living, your speaking. Everything come under His control. Nicodemus had not come to that position yet. Have you? This morning we are going to be very frank and down to earth and realistic. Coming to church is good. Carrying a Bible is good. Doing all the nice Christian things is good. But most important thing is your life under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all that matters. And if you are, I say, God bless you. Nicodemus came and said, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "I've come to seek your advice, your instruction. We know you are a teacher from God, for no man can do. Please follow the things, the miracles that you do, except God be with him." He did not tell Jesus what was his real problem. But do you know what was his real problem? It is in the words of the Lord Jesus in the next verse. Because the Lord Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you have a problem. And I know it. Verily, verily, I say to you, except you. Well, the Lord Jesus spoke generally. And this morning I want to speak very specifically to everyone here. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus knows everybody's thinking, intention, and motive. Why did Nicodemus come tonight, at night? Oh, you have an urgent problem. You're not sure where you're going after death, obviously. You're not sure what is the real meaning of life. You're keeping the law of Moses. You're being regular in tithing and going to church. All these things do not solve your life problem. What is your life problem? Where will you go after death? Ask yourself. I've spoken on this before. And you say, every time you talk about death, why? I speak about death because it is the biggest problem to all of us. And it is the commonest happening to all of us, all the time. You say, but I'm very healthy. I say, dear friends, the moment you are born into this world, you join the race of death. All of us, into the stream of death, of life. Life is a sad story of death. All of us are flowing in the great stream towards the end, which is, as it is appointed unto men, all to die. But then after that, what? Nicodemus was very concerned. He had an idea about God's kingdom. I'm sure he had a desire. Do you have a desire that when we leave here, you are going to God's kingdom? Are you sure? How can you be sure? Jesus says, Nicodemus, your problem is this. You are not born again. And I say, if anyone here is not sure today, make sure. The Lord Jesus is very present and very concerned and very interested in you and me. Because he came to earth for just that one purpose. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whosoever looks to him, believes in him, should not perish, but have a new life called everlasting life. What is your life? How is your life? Where do you get your life from? Where from? Parents, of course. Parents. Parents gave you that life. And that life will last you any number of years, from 0 to 100. Today, they say you can live up to 120 if you got good doctors and you live properly. And so what? Oh, you must take all these various vitamins, omega-3, omega-4, omega-5, and more, and you add on to your years until you look like an old vegetable. So happy, I can live 120 years. I said, that is not the solution to life, please. I'm not against people taking vitamins. I take myself. But we do it because it is helpful in a way, but it is not the solution, please understand. It is not the solution at all. It only ties you over, helps you a little bit to prevent you from suffering from various deficiency diseases. Then you feel good. Jesus says to us, verily, verily, truly, your life problem is that you must be born again. You must receive a new life. Your father and mother gave you one life, all of us. Receive that life. Then we're born into the world crying. Do you notice this? In all my deliveries of babies, I've never found one in the 10,000 that comes out laughing. Not one. Everyone comes out, wow, wow, wow. Everyone, with a cry. There is a significance. There is a message. What is the message? Oh, every birth and every life of a child is into this stream of suffering, sorrow, and death, and disease. True? Absolutely true. So this is the problem. And Our Lord Jesus knows very well, Nicodemus, you didn't tell me. I don't need you to tell me. The Lord Jesus reads right through into your mind, into your heart. Your intention, He knows. Please, this morning, come to Him. If you have not made right with God, if you have not received Jesus into your life to be your master and director of operations, please do so as soon as possible, and that means now. Don't wait. So this is the message Jesus gave to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you are interested in the way to the kingdom of God because you have come to realize this earth offers you nothing. True? Great men, powerful men, rich men, poor men, beggar, all of us are in that one deadly stream, and sooner or later you find yourself in the obituary, in the newspaper. Yes, how great you are, how rich you are, you're also there. Kingdom of God is the one objective we all must have every day, not only to aspire to it, but to receive and obtain it, to make sure you have a place in it. Then what? Live like it and work for it. That's the only thing that is worthwhile for all of us. It may change some of your plans today, may alter your direction today. It may change your whole lifestyle today. When you understand that living for things of this earth will eventually come to nothing, like Nicodemus was aware of that, he knew that. That's why he came to Jesus. I say, when you realize this, come right away. Speak to the Lord Jesus, and He is ever ready, willing, and anxious to hear from you. Now, verse 4. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Of course, Nicodemus was speaking as a complete outsider. He had never heard of this doctrine of new birth ever. Nobody had ever spoken about it. What is new birth? So he asked this question. What does Jesus say to him? And what Jesus says to him says to you. You read this, verse 5. Please, you say, "I've been born again." I say, you have a revision class here this morning. Reinforce your faith. Reinforce your understanding of God's word in verse 5. Jesus says to you, "Verily, verily, my dear friend, whoever you are, I say to you, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You have been born. Today you are alive. You are very strong. You are healthy. You are in the young age or middle age. You think there's an immense future ahead of you, right? How immense? You say, "I have another 30, 40 years. So what? But don't be so sure. Because no one can guarantee your lifespan. No one can guarantee your health. You can be very healthy, pass by your annual health checkup today, tomorrow you can drop down dead still. Possible, yes. Our lives are not in our hands." Jesus says to all of us, verse 5, "Except you be born again of water of the Spirit, water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What do you mean by this? You turn to this same chapter and verse 14. All right. Look at verse 14. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." How can you be born again? Here the Israelites in the wilderness. Remember, out of Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness, and wilderness wandering is a very tedious business. Can you imagine nearly 2 million people walking barefoot, well, almost, with your sandals, no place of rest, no food except manna every day, how to find water, no rest. Every day it is a problem. And they began to complain. But they did not thank God. Thank God that they are out of Egypt by the Exodus. Now, heading for the promised land. They could have entered in 2 years, but because of their disobedience and rebellion, now they murmured, and God says, these people, they are so ungrateful. Are you ungrateful? Are you thankful to God for every mercy? These people were not, and God sent a lesson to them, fiery serpents. God is able to do things you never thought He could do. Don't complain, dear friends. These people murmured and complained, and God punished them with fiery serpents. Now, when they were bitten, they were in great pain, and some of them were dying, and then Moses says, Lord, what to do? The Lord says, make a brass serpent, raise it on a pole in the camp, tell the people, look, this is Jesus, the Savior. The brazen serpent is the symbol. The Son of Man shall be lifted up. Look to Him. All those who had been bitten, one look, they were healed instantly. Now here it is, back to verse 5. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You have been bitten by the serpent. You're going to die. You need a new life. Where do you get the new life from? Look at the serpent on the pole. Look at Jesus Christ on the cross. Your salvation is not by yourself. You cannot find new life by yourself. For life is a mystery. Your life came from your parents. This life, you will die with that life. But you need a life from God to give to you right now. Looking at Jesus instantly by faith. You hear that? Not by your good works. Not by trying hard. Not by doing charity. Not by practicing your whatever rules you have. Look to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm finished. I'm bitten by the serpent. I'm dying. I'm full of sin. What are your sins? Murmuring against God, breaking His holy commandments, living your own lifestyle, every day doing the things you feel like doing, doing what comes naturally, was the name of a song that was sung when I was a medical student, and today is being sung in other ways. Do what comes naturally. Your life is under your own control. Life in the flesh will end up in the grave and eternal destruction. You need what? Verse 5 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know that you need the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the earth ends in death, and you're finished. And after that, judgment. Now, how can you have this birth of in the Spirit, this new life in the Spirit, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so will the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever looks to Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is the lesson that Nicodemus had to learn. We all have to learn and relearn. Verse 6, please follow. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your parents gave you life in the flesh. Yes. And that life will not sustain you. Very soon, before you realize it, you are finished. You must have the life from God, life from the Spirit, and that is all that matters. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, I want to ask you a question before we come to the conclusion. Do you have this new life? What is the proof you have this new life? You say, I'm a Christian, I was baptized. I say, congratulations. Do you have this new life? I give you a checklist. Galatians chapter 5. And then we will all check on ourselves. It is very good. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are baptized. You attend church regularly. Maybe you are even an office bearer. That does not in itself make you a child of God. That in itself is no guarantee that you have received life in the Spirit. How can we know? I say, we check list now. Please turn to Galatians so that we all will benefit from the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5. Right? After Romans, Corinthians, then Galatians, okay. Chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Meaning to say, if you live a life in the flesh, after the flesh, doing the things that come naturally, without reference to the Lord or to His Holy Spirit, without reference to God at all, now you're living this kind of life. Verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The four words all refer to sexual sins, and this is the commonest, the most common, because it comes to the eyes, comes to the senses, to the ears, comes to the body, in actual sinning, the sins of sex. Very, very common. Are you guilty? When you go by a shop which is showing all these sexy pin-ups, are you gripped by it? When you open the newspapers, when you go to the television, when you go to the internet, when you go into the computer. Today, sociologists in America are worried because of the sex explosion through the computer. I don't own a computer myself. I don't know how to work it. But young people are expert today. And there are many who close up their room. Parents say, what are you doing? Study law. How do you know that they are studying? How do you know? What is it they are studying? And the study can go to 1 and 2 a.m. These are the things, dear friends. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, sins of sex is the most common. If a Christian indulges in these and without inhibition, his Christianity is in question. We cannot go in, as they say, display a lamb's head selling dog meat. You know what I mean? Gua yang tou, mai gou rou. You know what that means? All right. You say you're Christian, but you live not the Christian life. Where is the evidence that you are born again? All right, let's say you are born again, you are backslided. I say, repent. Turn back. You cannot profess Christ and do things that oppose Him, that defame Him, that disgrace Him. These things don't cohere. They are incompatible. We must check on ourselves. Life in the Spirit means I think after my Lord Jesus Christ. I speak for Him like Him. Every day, my movements, my lifestyle, controlled by His Spirit. I refer to His Word. I love His Word. I read the Word. I obey the Word. I say, God bless you. Yes. When I see those evil things, I quickly turn away. God bless you. But if you are captivated by those things, say, turn back. Read on. Verse 20. Idolatry. Do you go and consult feng shui? Or do you go for palmist to read the palm? Mind you, Christians do so. Absolutely true. Or look at horoscope. So many people, before they make a decision, consult horoscopes. And consult the zodiac, and the moon, and the stars, and so on. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Don't practice hatred. Oh, my friends, there's so much we can do as a Christian to practice Christian love and forgiveness. Why is it we are not? You say, born again. Born again means I must live my life according to God's control, command. Jesus Christ taught this. Love your enemies. Why not? Why not? Why don't we speak words of kindness every day? When you go to a place, do you exercise some Christian grace? Is it very difficult? No. Many people create problems for themselves because they're so proud. Sombong. They speak as though they run the place. And you get into trouble because of pride. And the biggest sin is pride. Let us learn to be like the Lord Jesus. Humble, meek and mild. Self-effacing. And suffer and not complain. How about that? Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All these are in one group. No, let us practice true Christian love, even as our Lord Jesus, because of our sakes, was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he never opened his mouth. You are a Christian, born again, try it. Yes, be humble, like the Lord Jesus. Suffer a little bit for him, and don't complain. Envyings, verse 21, murders, drunkenness, it is good that we abstain from strong drink. Abstain from strong drink. In case you eventually come into the sin of drunkenness. Revelings. What is revelings? People go to Sentosa and revel parties till 3, 4 a.m. till the morning. Wow, is it powerful people? I say, oh dear friends, so sad for them. That kind of power is no good. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, even weeping. Yes, Paul says, I tell you, warn you, even weeping, because you who don't want to listen to me. Will you listen to the words of God today? Life in the Spirit says, do not do those things if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do the things of the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit teaches you, do. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does? Read the Word. Read the epistles. They're all there. Nothing hidden, nothing mysterious, nothing difficult. Only thing is, yield yourself. Give your will. Allow God to take charge of your life and obey His commandments for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus, which you wear as a Christian. You call yourself a Christian? Be like one. Live like one. So, continue, and that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ah, this is what Nicodemus was interested, wasn't it? Kingdom of God. I want to have a place in the kingdom of God, but how can I be sure? Here it is. Those things you know are wrong. Flee youthful lust. Don't do them. As all these things do not belong to a Christian, they belong to the unchristian people, the non-Christian people. Now, come, let us talk of positive things. Positive. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Oh, these are so good. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love meaning I do good. I am concerned for others. I care for them. I love them with a Christ-like love, which is self-sacrificial, with no ulterior or selfish motive. That is love. Yes. Not to take it out on others. Not to retaliate. Not to fight back. That is love. Christian love. To be kind and affectionate and considerate to other people. That is Christian love. Do you have it? Joy. Joy, not just laughing, joking. That is not joy. Joy means I know I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, as my Lord. I know I am on the way to heaven. Every day I have joy because I know my future is secure. And I'm living for Him every day. I have joy. That kind of joy, do you have it? Peace. Peace. While I know I have incurable disease, yet every day I look to Jesus. That is peace you need. People attack you, say evil things about you. You commit to the Lord, you have peace. You don't get angry and agitated. That is peace. And you go out and make peace for other people. That is peace. With the love of God, do you? Do you? So many times we read in the papers, neighbors quarrel. Sometimes even Christian neighbors quarrel. And they do all kinds of things, throw dirt at each other. What for? No, dear friends, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance against such. There is no law, dear friends. Let us all learn this. This is the manifestation of life in the Spirit. If you have received the Spirit of God, from Him you get new life, eternal life, a new principle, a new central control up here. The mind and the heart given over to God every day. The Lord's Day, rejoice. Today is my Lord's Day. The day He allows me to come to a place to meet with other fellow believers. The day I witness that to the whole world to know I am in the kingdom of God. Do you do that? Life in the Spirit is not theoretical. Life in the Spirit is not show off. It is not external, although it is, but it is internal to start with. Do you have that life? Check on yourself. Yes. You have that life, you will begin every morning talking to the one who gave you that life. Do you? First thing in the morning, commune with God. The one who saved me, loved me, gave me this new life, this hope of a place in the kingdom of God. First thing in the morning, thank Him. Talk to Him. Commune with Him. Fellowship with Him. Take time, please, take time. We live in a fast age. Everything is fast. Fast food, fast prayer. So, no, dear friends, take time to meet with God, to commune with Him. Why? Because you have life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is living with Him, with Jesus, every day, first thing in the morning, through the day. Commit your ways to Him. Plan your whole day with Him. Lord, today I have so many transactions, so many meetings with people, so many difficult problems. Do you commit to Him? Do you? I used to work very hard in obstetrics. And sometimes I start the morning with 10 difficult clinical problems. I write them all down and pray through. By the end of the day, maybe 8 solved, 2 more still pending. Commit your way to the Lord in whatever you do. Meet with the Lord and tell Him your problems and say, Lord, I hand over to You. Please help me. Enable me. Guide me. Why? Because you live a new life. Life in the Spirit is God in control. My Savior in control. Holy Spirit in control. I'm only His instrument. Oh, it's a wonderful life in the Spirit, isn't it? So Nicodemus came that night. And the Lord says to him, Nicodemus, I know you realize this life is worthless, purposeless, aimless, except you have assurance from God of a place in the kingdom of God. You have that assurance, live like it. Go and tell others, please. I still see so many empty chairs which says, go and bring a friend. You try. Are you friendless? Is there anyone here who says, I got no one in the whole world? Try it. Your neighbor, your family, bring them and fill these chairs. Why? Not because we need people in the chairs, but we need you to tell and others there is a kingdom of God that you can come in. The king is waiting for you to come in, but you got to go and tell. Life in the Spirit is practical, is a wonderful life, is a challenging life, full of opportunities. Are you making the use of those opportunities, dear friends? Now is the time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the encounter of Nicodemus with the Lord Jesus. Teach us how we too should yearn and be concerned for the kingdom of God, that we will come to the King and say, Lord, give me a place in that kingdom. And receiving that place in the kingdom, the assurance, help me to live like it, to tell others, and daily to manifest the goodness of God, the loving kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are still outside. Bless this church, Lord, through life. Truly, Lord, give them life that they will go and tell others who are still in deadly sin and pursuing the road of death to bring them into the light of thy salvation. Set us forth, therefore, Lord, everyone who names the name of Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.